Well, welcome this morning. Would you bow with me? I want to invite you to take a quiet moment. This morning I would like you to just come before the Lord and ask Him to awaken every spiritual sense inside of you, that throughout the course of this service you would move past the flesh, past the logic, past your mind, and you would move into the things of the kingdom. You would hear things in the spirit. You would see things in the spirit. You would feel things in the spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit to do that in you today. Let's take a moment.
I would like you this morning to bow with me, and I'd like you to take your right hand and I'd like you to hold it up in the air and squeeze it tightly. We are all aware that when we do this, it activates and makes us more teachable, and we retain more as a result of doing this. Let's do that. If you have faith, let's do it now. Father, I want to say thank you this morning for this time we have together. I want to say thank you for your word, that you have given us a divine word that is powerful, that has the ability to change and bring to life. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every demonic bird that is here that would seek to snatch and steal and pervert the word. I command you to release every person be outside the walls of this building. But Father, I declare today that the soil in this place is fertile. I declare we will remember, we will understand, and we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Holy Spirit, possess me and have your way in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody believing said, amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, how many of you were here last Sunday? How many of you were here? Yeah. Last Sunday, we began looking at the after the resurrection period of Jesus' life. In 2 weeks, we will be focusing on the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. Last week, we focused on the main objective of Jesus during the 40 days he was here on earth after the resurrection. Does anyone remember what the main purpose, the main goal of Jesus in the 40 days after the resurrection until he ascended? What was his main goal? Betty? Exactly right. He had to get them from unbelief and doubt to believing that he was truly alive and that everything he said was going to come to pass. So that 40 days is what we focused on. I want to say, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go online, have a look at the message and get that. We're going to build on it today, and then we're going to do that more in 2 weeks. Today we are going to look at the event in between those two. The 40 days before, or the 40 days after, and the 10 days before the Holy Spirit came on the earth, and that is the event of the ascension. Jesus lifting off the ground. I've told you this before. I think it would be so awesome, and we're not there yet, but I think it'd be so awesome one Sunday when I'm preaching about this, just to be able to lift off the ground and have you not see the strings or the rope or whatever, and preach from the air. Would that be cool? That'd be cool. I think that'd be good. The only thing, I don't know that I would like the harness. I think that would be painful for a period of time. But if Whoopi Goldberg can do it in Sister Act, I think I could do it. That's all I'm thinking. But before we get there, before we talk about that, I need to plant a picture in your mind, and we are filming this today, and I need to make sure that it's in your mind. It's going to be on film. And I got to do this. At the end of the message last week, for those of you who are here, we dealt with what was called the orphan spirit. And most all of us have heard about the orphan spirit before. That is the spirit at work in people's lives, making them think that they are alone, as compared to the spirit of sonship, which gives you a revelation that I'm not alone. God is with me. The power of God is in me. And I can do what God said I can do because of that. And I want to just say again, The greatest power, and I just feel led to repeat this. I'm going to say it again in a couple of weeks. The greatest power that God gives is the power to choose whose words we're going to believe. For those of you who've read Neil Anderson's book, The Bondage Breaker, he makes a great statement in the seven steps. He goes, people go, I can't believe. I just can't believe that. And he goes, that's a lie. When you make a statement and go, I can't believe, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because God has given his spirit, given us the power to believe. Believing is a choice, he says. I'm choosing to believe. And so today, there will be much opportunity to choose to believe. And I want you to hear this really clearly. We need to believe, and we need to exercise that power, because let me just say this, and you can answer it. Without belief or without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. Without belief and faith, we cannot please God. Without belief and faith, we can't have relationship with God. It is contingent upon believing. Without believing, we will never experience being born again, ever. It requires belief. And without believing, it is impossible to do what God has called us to do during our brief time here on earth. I'm going to read a little bit later the passage we looked at last week, which is Mark chapter 16, and it says, these signs will accompany those who go to church. Thank you, Rose and Jane. Arnold, thank you. The rest of you, half hour later in Newfoundland, Flo, I didn't mean to talk about the Easterners that way. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yes, I did, actually. These signs will accompany those who what? Believe. And now let me just say this. If you don't believe it, you won't be doing it, or you won't experience it. He goes, if you believe, you'll do what? Lay hands on the sick and they'll... If you believe. If you believe, you will speak to demons and do what? Cast them out. If you believe, you'll speak in what? Brand new tongues. If you believe, you can pick up a deadly serpent and it will not harm you. If you believe, you can drink deadly poison and it will not what? Now, let me just say, don't be stupid, because there are stupid people who read that and go, seriously? I'm going to take poison and drink it and just believe it's not going to hurt me. And then they have a funeral a few days later. Let me just say this to you really clearly. It's not about you and I choosing to test the Lord, drinking poison and go, it's not going to harm us. But if you and I, like some of the disciples, are put in a place where people give us poison to kill us because of our faith, we have the ability to go, like Shadrach, Meshach, Shadrach, and again, to go, you can throw us in the fire, but it's not going to harm us. Did I say Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? What did I say? Did I speak in tongues? Well, that's what happens with those who believe, right? I got to tell you again, and let me just say it, and I praise God for you in this church. We're in a day, and I'll tell you, I'm having conversations like this every week. People who have been vaccinated because they were forced to be vaccinated, they stand on this scripture. They went, I had to for my job, but I believe that deadly poisonous thing will not harm me. There's people dying all around, people dying, people getting sick. I heard of it again this week. Can I tell you, as a believer, that deadly poisonous thing, we stood against it. We're believing it's not going to harm us. I'm declaring there's not a single person who walks in faith connected to this church who is negatively affected by that poison. This is not just a theoretical thing. Let me tell you, in the days that are coming, this is going to be a practical thing. And it is already. That is why we need to grow in revelation, to move from unbelief to believing. I want to give you a visual picture. I need a couple people to help me with this, just so that you can get it. Virgil, can I have you Could I have you come? I just need you to stand at the front here. And Dennis, can I have you come? And Dennis Ferlin, can I have you come as well? I want you just to be right here. Dennis 1, if you could be right here. Dennis 2, if you could be right here. You're Dennis 2 today. Yeah. The last shall be first, Dennis. Yeah, right here. I need you to get this picture, and it's not going to take long, but I want you to put it inside of you. There is not one of us, we said last week, Virgil's going to represent Jesus. There's not one of us who has put our faith in Christ who does not believe that Jesus could do miracles. We read through Scripture, we look at it, we read the whole deal. We know there's not a single one of us. Last week when I asked, everybody put their hand up, no problem. Not a single one of us believe that Jesus imparted the ability, the authority, and the power, and Dennis is representing the disciples today, that the disciples went out and did miracles. We read it, we saw it, okay? None of us have a struggle with that. Dennis represents the early church or the new church believers. So we know that when the Holy Spirit came and fell upon the church, not just the disciples, but it transferred over here, and many of the new believers began doing signs and wonders. That's in Scripture. There are those, by the way, who believe it stopped right here, that when the last disciple died, that all of the signs, wonders, and miracles stopped right here. There's those who believe it, but the Bible shows this. Now, can I just say this to you? If this is all you believe, if you believe that Jesus could do miracles because he was Jesus, the disciples did miracles because they were the disciples, and even the early church did it because there was early church. If you go, yes, they could do signs and wonders, they could do all those things because of who they were. If that's all you believe, let me say this to you, you are demonically deceived. You are demonically deceived. I want to do a shift. We talked about it last week. I want to do a shift on the inside of you. Jay, can I borrow you for a second? I think it's so funny. Do you ever hear, I heard this years ago, somebody made a statement in the morning, they go, you know, I can't tell if it's the Holy Spirit or caffeine that's moving in me right now. I think that's the funniest thing. Okay. Jay represents the Holy Spirit. I want you, Jay, just to stand behind Jesus. I want you to get this picture. If you believe that Jesus did miracles because he was Jesus alone, you are demonically deceived. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, stayed on the inside of them. He was filled with power, and he began doing miracles because the Holy Spirit was with him and in him. Do you get that? This is the only picture why Jesus could do miracles. This is the only picture. He didn't do it because he was Jesus. He did it because the Spirit of God was in him, empowering him to do it. Then Jesus did something with the disciples, and he said, I'm going to impart to you, give you, and Holy Spirit came over here. If you think the disciples did miracles because they were disciples, you're demonically deceived. The only reason they did miracles is because Holy Spirit, the same one who was in Jesus, came in and on him, and the disciples began doing miracles because of Holy Spirit. The early church then, when the Holy Spirit fell, 120 were in the upper room, the Spirit of God fell, and the Spirit came unto the early church. Don't think the early church people did miracles just because they were connected to Jesus and disciples. They did it because Holy Spirit landed on them, filled them, and now they began doing the signs and wonders and miracles because of this. Not because of this, because of this. Val, can I borrow you for a second? I want you to catch this. And again, we're talking about Jesus moving people from unbelief to belief. And I'll tell you right now, every power of hell is going to work at keeping you, and those of you watching, keeping you from believing what I'm going to say to you next. Val represents believers all down through time, represents believers today. Val represents Val. This is what Jesus said. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send Spirit so that he will come with you and in you and empower you to do what I did, not because of me, but because of Spirit. What they did, not because of them, because of Spirit. Not what the early church did, but because of Him. Now, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit comes. If any believer looks at themselves and goes, I can't do it, you're right. And the orphan spirit will not see, Holy Spirit will not be aware of him. They will look, Val will look at herself and go, I can't do it. It's not in me. I don't have the ability. I'm afraid of that. I don't have the power to do that. I can't do that. There is demonic deception, and the orphan spirit will keep you seeing that you are alone. Here's what happens. When the veil comes off, the spirit of sonship comes, and you recognize Holy Spirit, the same one that empowered Jesus, the same one empowered the disciples, the same one empowered the early church, the same spirit came, is with and in Val. Now, these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. What's the belief? The belief is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells where? In you. Can I just say that the orphan spirit inside of you will never get it. Never get it. And if we don't exercise our authority to expel that orphan spirit and move into sonship going, I'm a child of God, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, because of Holy Spirit in me, I can do it. Bree, can I borrow you just for a second? This is not reflective of Bree at all. But I want you to hear this. Every person, and I'm not talking about non-believers, because non-believers are not involved in this. They're not connected at all. They don't know Christ. They don't have the word. They got nothing. They're not there yet. The light is still shut off. God's working there. This represents people who call themselves believers, call themselves Christian. They either fall into one of two camps. One, where they have a spirit of sonship, a revelation of spirit in them, or they have the orphan spirit, I'm alone. I'm alone. I can't do it. I don't have the power. It's not within my ability. I can't do it. Every person in the church is represented by one of these two. Every one of you are represented. Every one of you are represented by one of these two. Either a revelation that Holy Spirit is in me and I can do what He said I can do. I believe it. Or I'm alone. Limited to my power. I can't do it. How do you move? This is what Jesus had to do with the disciples. How do you move from here over to, how do you do that? That's what Jesus had to do with every disciple. Move them from unbelief. We're going to get to this in a second, because here's the cool thing. The disciples were demonically deceived because they believed they could only do miracles because Jesus was with them. That was a lie from the pit of hell. It wasn't the presence of Jesus that empowered them to do miracles. It was the presence of the same Spirit. And that's why Jesus said to them, when I go, guys, when I leave, we'll get there. When I leave, you're going to keep on doing the same thing. Because it's not my physical presence. It's the presence of Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? I know you're seeing it with your eyes. I know you're hearing it with your head. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to get it. To get it. And some of you, I just want to say this really clearly. I remember the transition that had to happen in my life. It didn't happen overnight. I wish it would have. Moving from this point over here, that orphan spirit, I can't do it. I agreed with the enemy. He goes, I can't. Where God just slowly move me. Get to the point. All of a sudden, I recognize I'm not alone. Spirit is in me. And I believe. How is it I believe? I can lay hands on the sick and they recover. How can I believe? I can speak to a demon and they can be cast out. How is it I can believe? How can I believe that? Let me give you a crazy one. There's a lot of believers who still struggle believing that they're holy. They still struggle with sin, still struggle with shame, still struggle with their failure, their past. That's what they struggle with. The power to believe comes from Holy Spirit who comes in me. Now I can believe what God said and I receive it. And now I can believe what He said I can do and I'll start doing it. Let me say this. If you don't believe it, you'll never do it. I'll make this really clearly. There's not a single person out there who doesn't believe I can lay hands on the sick they don't believe it. They go, I don't believe I can do that. Guess how many times they're going to do it? Guess how many times in their unbelief they're going to be bold enough to go to somebody and say, can I lay hands on you? Because the Bible says as a believer I can lay hands and they'll recover. If you don't believe it, how many times are you going to do it? None. I'm the enemy. Guess what my goal in the church is? Guess what my goal in the body of Christ? I can't stop you from getting saved. But guess what my goal? I'm the enemy. Guess what my goal is? My goal is for you to believe that Jesus did miracles because he was Jesus. Whoa. Disciples did miracles because they were connected to Jesus. Whoa. The early church maybe did miracles because they were connected here. Whoa. But my job is to make sure that this is how you see yourself today. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm a believer. But I have zero revelation. That orphan spirit has kept me from believing that this is the truth of my life. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I will tell you that every person with the orphan spirit will never step out in the things of the Spirit. They will never step out. And let me tell you one of the great ones. Here's one of the biggest ones. The Bible says, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Can I tell you, the orphan spirit, there is no power. They're not transformed by the love of God, and they do not have a sound mind because they're demonically deceived. They believe they're alone. This person, I've not been given a spirit of fear. This person is filled with fear. Oh, what are people going to think? Oh, what happens if I do it and it doesn't happen? Oh, I can't. Oh. And here's the crazy thing. Most of these people, they have no problem believing that Jesus can do it. Here's the craziest one. They have no problem believing the disciples or even the early church. Here's a crazy. They even have no problem believing other believers can do it, but they go, I can't do it. Demonic deception, spiritual blindness, unbelief, the orphan spirit. When it is removed and we come into a revelation that I am a son of God, I'm filled with the same spirit that was in Jesus, I believe that now. I believe it's not about me. I believe it's about who's in me. That means Jesus is not a liar. This person here, their lifestyle and belief, without saying it out loud, they go, Jesus, you lied. Let me tell you how. Jesus said this, if you believe the things that I have done, you will what? No, let me say it again. You can say it out loud. Jesus said, if you believe the things that I have done, you what? You will also do. And more. Whoa, don't go there. If we could just get to even. But Neil, that's exactly right. And more. This person, by their life, says, Jesus, you lied. You did them. The disciples did them. The early church did them. But I can't do them. I don't believe I can do them. And I'm not doing them. The goal of the enemy is to go, Christian, I want you to live your life and declare that Jesus is a liar. Isn't that a wonderful thing for the church to declare and live like he's a liar? He's not only about stealing, killing, and destroying. He's about mocking our Savior. And the orphan spirit is amazing at doing that. When we moved to the place, and here's the deal, he had to move every disciple, every one of us, but every disciple had to move from here to here. You get that? I'll say this to you clearly. Right now you're hearing it intellectually, but I'll tell you, apart from revelation of the Holy Spirit, nothing will change. Nothing will change in you. You'll walk out of here. I got to give you a crazy picture. I'll never forget this. Years ago, there was a CLBI group that came to our church. They ministered one Sunday, and they gave an example. They gave an example of people walking into church, and they were walking this way. This is all. They were just walking in the flesh. They walked in. They heard the message, and as they heard the message, they were stirred and they were believed, and they stood to their feet and they were like, whoa, this is amazing, and they were just excited and they prayed and they received it. They turned and they started walking out of the church, and they went back down and they walked out the same way they came in. Let me tell you, that's the goal of the enemy for every one of us, for you to walk out the same way you went in. I came in powerless, believing I have an orphan spirit. I'm walking out powerless. I'm leaving the truth of the revelation of what Christ has done. I'm leaving it in the church. I'm leaving it here as compared to taking it with me. We're going to talk about this in 2 weeks, where in the upper room, the Holy Spirit took the orphans and boom! They walked in fear and they walked out in boldness. Because the revelation shifted from orphan to son. I can't help you get it any clearer than that. My flesh ability ends here. Spirit ability needs to move over. Let me just say this to you. You're going to be sitting beside someone. They might even be your spouse. You're going to sit beside someone. Someone's just not even going to get it. They're going to walk out. They'll be back on their knees again. That doesn't mean you can't get it. Doesn't mean you can't be transformed by it. Doesn't mean you can't move into that belief and begin doing because you have this revelation. Can I just say to you, even if nobody else goes with you, even if nobody else believes it with you, believe it. Become contagious. Become cancerous. Start walking in power, in authority, in boldness, not because of you, because same spirit. Kate. Yeah. Kate asked a question. Great question. How did it work before the disciples? Jay, come over here. I want you to think about this for a second. Who washed the floor yesterday? I want you to think about this for a second. Before Jesus was 30 years of age, okay, we know he lived a sinless life. We know that he was born sinless, right? He was a zygote, went into Mary. He didn't have a fallen nature, so he lived sinless the whole time. Do we have any record of any miracles happening through Jesus before he was 30? Is there any record? Is there record? The wedding at Cana happened after his ministry began. That was the first miracle, but it happened after. I'll explain in a second. After he was baptized first and then, okay? I want you to hear this. We have no record. Now, there's some movies out there. There's some shows out there. We've seen it where Jesus was a 12-year-old boy and there was a little bird that clipped its wing and Jesus picked it up, put his hands on it, the bird was healed, the bird flew away. Okay, we have no evidence of that. Let me tell you why I don't believe that's true, because Jesus, as he was growing, did he have the Holy Spirit in him? Yes, he did. But here's what it says. When he began his ministry, before he did anything else, the Bible says he went into the wilderness after he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit came on him and what? Remained. It stayed with him. That's how John the Baptist knew that he was the Messiah, because it remained. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came, left, came, left, came, left. God told John, the one you see the Holy Spirit come on and remain, that's the one. The Holy Spirit came and remained on him. The first thing after the baptism that happened, what did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to do? If you could see it, this would be the Holy Spirit inside of Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, Jesus, we're going to the wilderness for 40 days. Right? Went into the wilderness, fasted and prayed. But here's what it says. He went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit landed on him. At the end of 40 days, the Bible says this, he came back out in the power of the Spirit. Let me say this to you. There was no power in him before that period of time to do what God called him to do. The power happened when the Spirit came, remained on him. At the end of that 40 days, he was equipped for ministry. Now, back to Kate's question. Here is Jesus walking in the power of the Spirit, doing the miracles, turn the water into wine, okay, cast out demons, raise the dead, you know, do the whole deal. The disciples are watching him. We talked about that last week. All of a sudden he goes, disciples, I'm going to send you guys out and do it. What did he do? Here's what he did. And catch this, we'll talk about it later. All authority has been given to me. Jesus said that how many times? All authority. He said this, disciples, before Pentecost, before you have the Holy Spirit come and stay on you the same way it did me, I'm releasing authority to you, temporary authority for you to go to preach, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. I'm giving temporary authority to you to do that. So he did, took temporary, transferred it on the disciples. The disciples went out and did what Jesus was doing. Now let me tell you why it was temporary. Because at the end of his ministry, when he died, rose again from the dead, he said, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send Holy Spirit. You need to wait in Jerusalem until Holy Spirit comes and does what? Holy Spirit? Not just come upon them, but what? Fill them. Now here's the coolest thing. I want you to recognize the disciples are going, Jesus, you can't leave. Okay, it's not to our advantage that you leave, because we're doing this because you're here and you're imparting this. He had to bring the disciples to a place of recognizing it wasn't because Jesus was present that they could do the miracles or whatever. It's because they were filled with the same spirit that was in Jesus. And when he's physically absent, even by lifting off the ground and going to heaven, his physical presence was no longer necessary. Do you know why? All the way over here. Because if Jesus' physical presence was necessary for you and I to do it, every one of us go, we can't do it because he's not here. The disciples learned they could do it because of Holy Spirit. The early church learned they could do it because Holy Spirit came on them. The present church goes, Jesus doesn't have to be here. His Spirit is in me, and we believe the truth where Jesus goes, when my Spirit is in you, I will never leave you, forsake you. I'm going to have to do this next week, otherwise we're going to preach till 12:30 or 1 o'clock. But here's the deal. How do we believe that he'll never leave me or forsake me when he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father? Only one way, because the same Spirit is in the inside of me. The Spirit of Christ is in me. I don't need him physically present. He is powerfully by the Spirit present. The orphan spirit does this. I don't think about God. I don't feel his presence. I'm not aware of him. I'm not aware of his power. I walk alone. I will never forget those who were in Africa. Masai Mar, there was one Sunday God just laid upon my heart and said, Colin, you need to preach about the invisible presence. And I got up and preached about, I am not alone. You believe you're alone? Who's with me? Who's with me? Who's with me? Who surrounds me? Who? And I built a team of Holy Spirit people around me, angels, Holy Spirit, Jesus around me. If you don't walk with an awareness of who surrounds you, you're deceived by an orphan spirit. And I'll say it to you bluntly. The enemy has the majority of the present day church believing that they are alone and they are powerless. Now I'm going to make this really clear. There are some people who don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to move in the things of the Spirit, move outside their comfort zone, move into anything other than what they can do in the flesh. A pile of the church wants to stay right here. Question, will they be saved? Probably, because their faith is in Christ. But guess how many fruit will be on their tree? I'm telling you, and I want to say it straight again, because we don't have any visitors today, which is wonderful. But I want to tell you this. If anybody in the church wants to remain powerless and simply functioning in the flesh, Jesus will not force them to do anything different. I'll tell you the truth for me. And I'll tell you, years ago, and I remember saying this, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, if I'm going to move into this thing with you, I'm either going all in or I'm all out. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to walk powerless. I don't want to be ineffective. If I'm going in, I want to be all in. Let me ask you the stupidest question ever. How many of you want to get married and experience 5% of what marriage is meant to be. Just 5%. And going, you know what? I just want to be married. 5% is good. 95%, I don't need that. Just, how many of you get married and go, I'm good with 5%? Just raise your hand. I'm good with 5%. That sounds so stupid because not one of us would be content with 5%. And yet when it comes to the kingdom of God and walking with him and what he says, we're 5%, I'm good. I'm just waiting for the rapture. Don't make me pray with anybody. Don't let me share with anybody. Don't push me out of my comfort zone. Don't. The church is full of 5% believers. And they're content with that. Let me say it to you again. The Lord will not force a single person to move from here to here. He will not force anybody. But he will do everything in his power. Everything in his power to cause you to believe. That's a great question. Anybody else have a question? We're just going to do this today because I'm not going to get to the message. Anything else? Michelle? Yes. 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 So here's the deal. And he made this statement. He says to the disciples, he goes, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I'm going to be with you. And here's what it says. Jesus, who is in heaven, accompanied the disciples with signs and wonders. Let me tell you, when you are in non-believing environments and people experience you doing something supernatural, it gets their attention. Let me give you a really big one, okay? Really big one. Some of you will have a hard time believing this. I'm on a construction site. I'm surrounded with guys who are F this, F that. They are swearing off they're whatever. The whole, something bad goes on, and guess what doesn't come out of my mouth? No F-bomb. Can I tell you, in some places, when I'm not swearing, when everyone else is, that's kind of like a miracle. I can't tell you how many people came up to me and asked me, why don't you ever swear? Things go bad, things go wrong, people are coming against you, the contractors, they're hollering. Why don't you ever swear? That was a miracle. Can I tell you? It was like a sign and wonder that drew people to me, and what an opportunity for me to share about Christ. I have a power in me that's greater than me that holds my tongue so I don't have to swear and I can respond differently, and all of a sudden I have a chance to share with them. You think that's a miracle? Think that's a sign and wonder? You bet. To have people today be able to control their tongue, that's a miracle. All the way over. All the way over. Let me give you a really quick example. You've heard it before. Here I am doing chapel up at Rose Haven. Okay? The dementia unit. Bev, how many years did you work there? Oh, how many years? 33 years. Did chapel. You were at some of those chapels. I'm doing chapel, just beginning, and dementia unit, Alzheimer's unit, I mean the whole deal. I'm preaching up here, and right in the front row, there's a lady who's sitting right here. I'm up there doing my deal, and I just start the message. This lady just starts talking. She's just talking. She's just chirping. I knew in my spirit that it was not her. I knew it was a demon. So I'm just doing my sermon. I'm beginning, and right in the beginning, and the Lord just says to me, just tell it to be quiet. So I just stopped my sermon. I looked over here. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be quiet. Hold your tongue. She went totally silent, and I kept going. Can I ask you a question? Do you think there was anybody in that room that noticed that something of power, something of spirit happened? Do you think that caught anybody's attention? You have somebody who takes authority over a spiritual demonic realm. It's going to gain attention. Why is it in Africa? Okay? The great example, we're doing street ministry in Africa. We invite people to come up, okay? And there are people all over the street, I mean, all the way down. There are piles of non-believers, some believers, the whole deal. When people come up for prayer, they get prayed. Somebody throws their crutches away. Do you think non-believers don't notice that? Yes. Yes. So yeah, that lady, after she was quiet the whole rest of the service, at the end of the service, I ended up talking to the lady. She goes, I got to tell you, when you did that, she goes, that's the first time that the voices were quiet inside of my mind. They shut off. She goes, that's the first time that's happened. It was so beautiful in Africa. I told you this. We're doing ministry in Africa, and I'm inviting our team to come, and people are coming up to be prayed for, and they're praying for people, and people are being healed. Okay? Well, do you remember that one lady? They were the crutches, and the crutches, they stayed on the altar when the lady walked back. I'll just ask you a question. The believer, orphan spirit, no sign, no wonder, no power outside of normal. Everybody can do this, right? Everybody can do it. How much of an impact, how much attention, how much gravitational pull this person? How much? This person walking, not Holy Spirit in them, doing today what the early church with Holy Spirit did, doing what they did over here, doing what disciples did, went out, accompanied by Jesus doing signs and wonders. And let me ask you this. Like Michelle said, when Jesus was doing it and Holy Spirit through him was doing, how many people were attracted? The miracle won't save you, but let me tell you, the supernatural will grab attention. And let me tell you how it's grabbing attention. Do you think the demonic realm today is not grabbing people's attention by doing miraculous things? In the demonic realm, there are things that are happening that people are going, whoa, that's real. Whoa, they got power. Whoa, you're in the new age. I got to tell you, that's why it's so exciting. When you have a new age healer who's doing demonic miracles, and all of a sudden that new age healer gets delivered by a power greater than the power inside of him, do you think people notice? That's a great point, Michelle. I'm the enemy. Here's my goal. This is the church today. No life, no power, no miracles, nothing supernatural. Here's the church. Why the hell should the world be attracted to this? You got no more power over depression than I do. You don't have power over depression, so why am I turning to you? Well, and Michelle, isn't that what happened? Jesus comes as a light into darkness, and because the Holy Spirit was on him, he began kicking holes in the darkness and setting people free. When he did the same to the disciples, they went out into the darkness, kept on kicking. The early church did the same thing, just kept on kicking it, and all of a sudden it comes to the present day church, and those who believe, they keep kicking the darkness and taking back territory. How fruitful and effective is this church? And I'll just say it again. Every one of us in here is one of the two. Any other question? Any other comment? That's a great statement, Michelle. Anything else? Fran? Right. Just stand up and say that again. You can repeat it better than I can.
When Earl, my husband, was dealing with ALS, he believed that he was going to be healed from ALS and that he would go on 100 Hundley Street and share that he was healed with ALS. And I was sharing this with my brother-in-law and Earl's sister, and they were completely silent. And my other brother-in-law and his sister, they believed in healing, but they were just total silence because they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit being now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the word Fran used was, and I want you to catch this, dispensational. Jay, could you move over to disciple, to Dennis? Dispensation is this. that during Jesus' time and the disciple time, because Holy Spirit was here, they could do all that stuff. But after the last disciple died, none of it can happen here today because the dispensation, it ended here. The majority of the church believes that, church. It's the exceptional church that believes that there was a move to the early church and then a move to the present church. But this is where the enemy wants all of us. Thank you, friend. That's exactly. And still today, you talk to people, their belief is it doesn't happen. And their belief is, if it does happen, it certainly is not going to happen through me. It's a present day reality. Much of the church will oppose this teaching. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, but you have to believe that. Okay, here's the deal. I didn't get to my sermon today. You okay with that? Okay. But I had to show you this picture. The Lord just said, I had to show you this picture. I wish I could make it clear. I can't. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to make this incredibly clear. You know what I'd love to do if we had time? What I'd love to do? I'd love to take every person who's battling with the orphan spirit that I can't do this. I'm having a hard time believing it. I would like you to come to the front and I'd like you to move Val off and just have Holy Spirit stand beside you until you get it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then I'd like to have a camera take a picture of you with Holy Spirit behind you just so you can take it home, put it in your mirror, remind yourself every day, I'm not alone. I got to battle this. I'm not alone. Holy Spirit is with me and He's bigger than me. Wouldn't that be a great picture? Okay, we don't do this often in church, but we're gonna have photo ops. $5 a photo. I'm gonna take the picture. You're gonna pay me. Let me just ask you, how many of you would this be helpful to get it in your head? It would just be helpful to have a picture and go, I need to get this. I need to get it. I don't care if it takes a year for me to get it. I know it's true, but I have to get it. I gotta move from orphan to sonship. I gotta move there. Jesus, you did it with the disciples. You can do it with me. Okay. I'm gonna close in prayer. You might think this is funny, but I'm gonna do this. If you want to come, Jay gets a cut. Jay, you good with that? This is kind of like be a side business, you and me. Neil, you should be my manager, not his. Would you bow with me this morning? First of all, can we give these guys a hand? They did a whole service. Thank you, guys. Everybody can go except Jay. I want you to sit right here. Would you bow with me? Father, we just want to confess today, we know that with our logical mind, with our flesh, we cannot grasp this. And we know that in and of ourselves, we can never come to believe it. But I thank you. We're not alone. I thank you. You have given us the power and the person to believe. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, I'm asking that you would do in every one of us. I'm asking that you would awaken on the inside of us belief and faith. I'm asking that you would silence that loud voice of the orphan spirit that would speak and lie and declare, I am alone and I'm powerless. Holy Spirit, shut that up. And empower me to believe. Empower me to make it real for me. Empower me when I turn and walk out of this church, I won't go back down to my knees and walk out the same way I came in, but keep me on my feet. And let the world around me be changed because of you in me. Holy Spirit, seal this today. And by faith, I say thank you. I believe your word. When it says, when your word goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish today. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, receive the benediction? The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace and a revelation of his presence in you. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving it said, amen. I'm going to invite Jay to stay here. Seriously, if you want a picture in front of him to get it inside of your head, just the image, I invite you to come. Don't think it's stupid or don't care whatever they think. If I can just have you come.